Turn your Bible then to Psalm 119 again. Verses 33. I'll read to verse 48. Let's see the word of God together. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually and for ever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and will meditate in my statutes. May the Lord have his blessing to the reading of his word. I've probably told you this before, but I spoke to a good Christian brother at some point last year. He asked, what are you studying, what are you preaching at the moment? I said, Psalm 119. Oh, what a boring book. I think that showed me his true heart. Psalm 119, boring. I said, you must be silly, man. It's a wonderful little psalm, speaking of the glories and the wonders of God's word. We considered this morning David's prayer that you would be taught, verse 33, just recapping for brethren who weren't here this morning, very quickly. It says, verse 33, teach me, O Lord, thy way. And I must admit, I wasn't very good at school. I wasn't a studious scholar by any means. Any excuse not to be there, I would take it. My uncle would come down in his lorry from London on a trip to the docks to Southampton, pull up outside the school, and I'd jump in the lorry and bunk off. School wasn't my bag, really. But there's one or two teachers which I did appreciate. Most of them weren't so good. But this particular teacher, he was a woodwork teacher and a metalwork teacher, and he made an impression upon me. Maybe that's why I became a builder, I'm not sure, but yeah, school wasn't good. It was difficult. And my wife found an old school report, and to my shame, I was third from bottom of the class. I wasn't bottom, but I was third. So that wasn't bad, was it? Gives you an idea of my educational abilities. But things change when you become a Christian. You become a brand new person, don't you? All things are new. And I love gospel teachers and preachers. And there are many men who've impressed the word of God upon my heart. And I'm sure you can say amen to that. You've got men who've really touched you and instructed you in the ways of God. George Horne, I think he was the Bishop of Norwich, not sure, maybe, looking to the historian here, He said this, which I found quite interesting and helpful. For heavenly teacher is unlike all others in this one great respect, that with the lesson he bestoweth on the scholar both a disposition to learn and the ability to perform. The Spirit of God brings the Word of God to us. He teaches us the Word of God, and he also gives us the ability to perform the Word of God, to act it out in our wills. Some of my teachers try to teach me art, how to draw your human figure. Forget it. He could teach me, but I couldn't perform it. It's impossible. But when the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, he gives us the information, the knowledge, and also the ability to perform, to be obedient to the Word of God. And that's because of the teacher. Further on in our psalm, in verse 102, David says, I have not departed from my judgments. Listen to this. For thou hast taught me. Who's his teacher? It's the Lord. It's Yahweh. It's Jehovah. It's the Holy Spirit. For thou hast taught me. What a wonderful thing. But you and I, frail children of the dust, have this great teacher. What a privilege. He's better than all the professors in Oxford and Cambridge put together. It's remarkable that he would take the lowest and raise them up. I'd never dream in my life as a young man that I'd be here tonight preaching to you. Wouldn't have that confidence, wouldn't have that ability. You may think I still don't. That's a different matter. But this is what God does, doesn't he? He raises up that which is down and raises them up to something they'd never ever think of. And this teacher, he's so gracious and kind. And in Psalm 25, he speaks of these things. In Psalm 25 and verses 8 and 9. Psalm 25, 8 and 9. Good and upright is the Lord. Amen to that. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. And his way is contrary to the ways of this world, to ways of our society at the present moment. Good and upright is the Lord. That's his character. That's one of his glorious attributes. God, we can say God is good. And we've proved the truth of that. God is good and he's upright. He's straight. He's narrow. He's not crooked. Unlike so many in the church today, they're weaving their crooked path, lining their pockets with gold and silver. But God is straight, straight as an arrow. There's no deviation, no diversion in him. So we have this glorious teacher. Teach me, O Lord, the way of my statutes. Give me understanding. What he's been taught, he needs to understand. That's something extra from this morning, but that is what we're looking at very briefly. See, David has a hunger and a passion. He has a delight in the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to infuse in that attitude, to seek after it for yourself. And some of you are already on that path, but I say to you, press on even harder. Go deeper into the Word. Ask the Lord God to teach me. David praises so often this psalm, teach me, teach me, teach me. We can never understand or know this book. It's impossible. The depths to it, you can go back to a passage and I never saw that. There's different light, different shade shed upon it. We should be known as people who love the Word of God. And David was such a man, and we've known men and women in their own lives who have followed that example. He sought the Lord in verse 14. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. He feels he needs to be enlivened. He needs to be revived. He needs to be quickened by the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, pressing on. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Let thy mercies, again, that's that rich Hebrew word, chesed. It's loving kindness, God's forgiveness. That word is so rich in meaning. Let thy mercies come also unto me. Let. May it be so. Let those mercies come to me. Even thy salvation. The word salvation here has a double meaning in the Hebrew. It can mean salvation, as in saving my soul. It can also mean salvation from a difficulty or problem that I'm encountering, that I'm up against, someone who's against me, someone at work who is out for me to make my life miserable because I'm a Christian. I think that's probably the sense here that David is praying, because he has enemies. They are those who are trying to undermine him, his authority. They're those who seek to bring him down. They are seeking to bring reproach upon me. Verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt. There are people who hated this man. And you're going to find that in society. You're going to find this at work. You put your head above the parapet, they're going to start kicking and shooting at you because you name the name of Christ. Are we surprised? No. The Lord told us. If they did this to the master, they're going to do this to the servant. So he says, let thy mercies. And what sweet mercies they are. When we see the Lord coming into a situation, seeing us through times of trouble, illness, bereavements, and abandonment, even by the closest friend, even by salvation, according to my word. The word of God says, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Never. How many times has that word come to the Christian through the scriptures? He says in verse 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. So he's looking for an answer. Those in his, maybe in his own court, definitely in his own family, Absalom, sought to dethrone his father, beloved Absalom, good looking young man, and yet he turns upon his father. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. So as a Christian, you are being persecuted at work, or wherever, even in your own family. We get it in our own family. I'm sure you do as well. We have an answer, don't we? Why? Because we know God's word. Mm-hmm. This is our fortress, this is our rock, this is our stay, this is our a certainty. And so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in the word. I trust. He says there, verse 42, so shall I have. Now he's saying, for I trust in thy word. Is your confidence in the word of God? Is every word in here, do you see it as inspired, the infallible word of God? Genesis to Revelation. We put our confidence in this. It fosters trust. It fosters certainty. We know, even through the bad times, that all things are working for our good. We know the end. We know the certainty. The book of Psalms is a collection, yes, but it's also a parts of life's journey. It begins with laments and cries of woe. As you get towards the end of the book, it becomes more glorious, more heavenly. So this is not just an ad hoc collection. There's this grand theme running through it. And we know the end, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again, and every knee and tongue, every knee will bow before him, and every tongue will confess him as Lord. Not to salvation, but they will declare his Lordship. For I trust in my word. Put your trust in no man. Because a man will disappoint you. Man will let you down. Trust in the Lord. And what confidence we have for future days. Verse 43 says, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hoped in thy judgments. Because I hope. The trust fosters hope. He hopes in thy judgments. God's judgments are righteous and just. There's no miscarriage of justice with God. We read in the past of men being hung for murder. And evidence comes forth many years later. Miscarriage of justice. Not with God. His judgments are true. And his judgments are righteous. And they are right. I have hoped in thy judgments. So, verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. So shall I keep. The word keep means to obey. To obey. So shall I obey thy law continually, forever and ever. I will keep it. Does that describe you? Does that describe me? We're such weak vessels, aren't we? We have good intentions. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But again, it's this mentality, this determination. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Because I have chosen the way of truth, I will keep it. So shall I keep thy law, not today, because it's the Lord's day, but continually. The Hebrew word there means always. They're not a Christian today and they become a heathen on a Monday. You're consistent in your walk. You're consistent in your testimony. So shall I keep thy law always. It says forever and ever. For eternity. Do you get the picture? He's really emphasising a little triad here. Always, eternally, and forever. That takes us back to where we were this morning. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, verse 1, and I shall keep it unto the end. There are all these little links between this psalm, which are encouraging us to press on. To the end of my life's journey, to the end. I've determined in my heart and mind, I will obey the commands of God, and I will keep it. So shall I keep my law continually, forever and ever. Got a note here in my Bible. Non-stop obedience. He's not wavering. He's bringing his flesh under submission. He knows his will. He knows his passions. He knows what he has to do to control himself. And it's discipline. And so shall I keep my law continually, forever and ever. Thy law. Oh, it's the law. It's the Torah. It's the commandments. Oh, we've got to keep the law. Oh, this is the way of liberty. It's not a bondage. Oh, you poor Christian. You go to church, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't say this, you can't go there. Can't, isn't it? But that's the devil whispering in your ear. Don't take it all too seriously. You don't need to go over the top. Just a little bit will do. But what does David say here in verse 45? I will walk at liberty. At liberty. That's freedom. The picture there of the Hebrew word is liberty. Of a wide open space. not confine, not constrain. This is what the world teaches. This is what the church teaches. You know, obeying the law and the commandments, you're constrained. No, no, no. Liberty. Glorious freedom in the gospel. And this is what David experienced. This is the truth of it. So shall I keep my law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty. Again, I say what I said this morning. There's no conflict in the psalmist's mind between law and grace. No conflict whatsoever. And as we obey the commandments, as we walk in the precepts and judgments of God, we experience liberty. Glorious gospel liberty. So we can say, for I seek thy precepts. Seeking the will, the way of God. For I seek. There's so many I's in this. I have, verse 42. Verse 42. I trust, verse 43. I have hoped, verse 44. I keep, verse 45. I seek thy precepts. If you want jewels, you want gold or silver, you've got to dig for it, haven't you? You've got to mine. Well, it's hard work. It's a program on one of the stations. Aussie Gold Hunters. Well, another one there, Opal Hunters, I think it's digging in the mines in Australia for opal. And they are obsessed with digging and extracting gold or opal. And it's hard work. There's a lot of disappointment. But when they find it, it's great joy. And they take it to the dealer and they get a lot of money for this opal. They're seeking. That's how we are to be with the Word of God. We're burning the midnight oil with our Bibles and in our closet. And we're seeking. We're seeking God's will and God's precepts. We're seeking to know our God. To know him and to walk with him and to please him as we would an earthly father. For I seek my precepts. And verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. This is one of the verses that I feel that David is the author. He had access to kings and people with high authority, government. And I will speak. It's never I will speak of thy testimonies. God's testimonies of his grace to the children of Israel. God's testimonies to the redemption of the children of Israel. So many testimonies that he can speak of. And we read in Ezra, he spoke to a king. We read of Nehemiah speaking to the king. Nehemiah, why are you so sad? And he brings out his heart before the king. He's devastated of Jerusalem, the state, the wretchedness of the people back home in Israel. Daniel speaks to the kings. Paul speaks to the emperor, Nero. What gospel opportunities. And I will not be ashamed. Now, none of us are going to be speaking for a king or a queen, are we? But they are speaking to others, and alas, to my shame, I do sometimes feel ashamed. I'm hesitant to bring a testimony. And I pray for holy boldness. You know, sometimes we blush, we feel ashamed. Should not be so, should it? I will speak of my testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. What are we to be ashamed of? We have the gospel. We have a glorious saviour. We have a glorious hope, a glorious future. And verse 47 is, I will delight myself in thy commandments. Those commandments which we read this morning. Thou shalt not kill. Not covet. Not bow before idols. Have no other God. Not take the Lord's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy. and I will delight myself in thy commandments, is an interesting phrase, which I have loved. Do you love God's commandments? Do you love God's commandments? I say that twice because he says it twice. Verse 48. My hands also will lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. Line upon line, precept upon precept. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. The more you study the Word of God, the more the Lord gives you understanding, the more you love the Word. If you don't, I question. My hands also will lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And because he loves these commandments, he meditates, and I will meditate in thy statutes. This is the way to know our God. Delight in his commandments, his precepts, his judgments, and to meditate upon them. I don't mean a 5-minute daily bread reading. I mean meditating upon the goodness and the grace and the love of God. Going deep into the Word of God, which I have loved. Now that phrase there is a recurring theme in this psalm. In verse 97, we read this. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now in this section, this stanza, there are no prayers at all. Only declarations. And his first declaration is, oh, how love I thy law. Is that true? True of you? True of me? Oh, how I love thy law. It's not, oh, how I love my country. Not, oh, how I love my family. Right and proper those things are. But, oh, how I love my wife and my children and my grandchildren. Oh, how I love thy law. And because he loves it, he meditates upon it all the day. Because he's drawing himself closer to the heart and mind and will of Yahweh. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And then in verse 113, he says, I hate vain thoughts. He hates empty thoughts, idolatrous thoughts, thoughts which lead to covetousness, which we considered this morning. I hate these vain thoughts, he says, but thy law do I love. You get the picture, this man is trying to convey to us. He's walked this way. He's instructing us, he wants us to learn from it. Verse 119. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. Dross is that thing which would come to the surface when you're smelting metal, gold or silver, and you skim off the dross. It's a nothing. Therefore, I love thy testimonies, he says. 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments. Above gold, yea, above fine gold. The finest gold a man could produce. He has no interest in wealth and riches. His interest is in the commandments of God. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, fine gold. Verse 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Again, relating to that refining process. The Word of God is pure. It's not affected by alloys. It's refreshing, isn't it? was reading a journey of a log of an explorer back many years ago, exploring Israel, and came to Jacob's well, Sychar. He said, the water there is so pure, you can't see it in the jug. It's so pure and so refreshing. And friends, that is the word of God. My word is pure. There's no taint of sin in it. There's no lies in this word. It's pure. And it's refreshing. Therefore, my servant loveth it. 159. This is his testimony. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me. He's on this journey. He's experienced the love of God. But he wants more of it. Quicken me, revive me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Again, that's that Hebrew word, hesed. Thy loving kindness, thy mercies. 163, he says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Great peace in 165, have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. At 167 in our psalm, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Exceedingly. What rich words this man is bringing before us tonight. What rich words. There's no conflict between law and grace. John 14, verse 15. Words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Jesus said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. What? That's just mind-blowing. It's staggering, isn't it? If we keep his commandments, and the church says we don't need to keep the commandments. Is that why we're poor and needy as a people? Because we've abandoned God's commandments. And God has given us over. But Christian friend, study his word. And he will come unto you and make your abode with him. Yes, he dwells in us now. But there are greater depths to explore. A greater relationship to come into with our God. Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Every jot and tittle. And the tittle we considered tonight in our song. The smallest word letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Not many words are formed with that particular letter. David prays that he may have a greater relationship with his Heavenly Father. Well, some folks told me this morning was a challenge. I think tonight is a challenge. I challenge myself as well. To be more consistent in my walk and in my testimony and in my love. To be obedient. Remember that this teacher gives us the ability to perform, to work out his will in our lives. And if you're feeling a bit tired and dragging your heels, pray the prayer that David prayed. Quicken thou me. Teach me thy way. Give me understanding. And he will. And we'll be more conformed to his image, to his praise, and to his glory. Amen.